Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is August 10th, 2006. Today's session is entitled, I Have Tourette's, But Tourette's Doesn't Have Me, with Julianne Torres. It's presented by Jim Bodine, number BODJ-2006-04. Let's listen in.
With this video is an hour that I've really looked forward to the past month since I've been talking with Aurora about what we might do during the story telling sessions. And Aurora and Jorge, who've been so involved in making Abriendo Caminos possible, have got a movie that their son, Julian, has made. And Aurora, would you like to, would you two like to say a few things about the movie before we start? So let's welcome the leader of
Well, I'm thinking that I wonder if they should see it first.
Okay.
And then if they have questions, the top will give
them
a little
background. Well, I just want to tell them a little background. I mean, my son has Tourette's, obviously. And
Does everybody know what Tourette's is?
No, I've been.
But we'll know about what Tourette's is when we see this. But HBO called us. Because they wanted to do a documentary. Can you tell a little bit of that about the story?
Yeah, I think this is valuable.
There is an executive at HBO in New York, and she has a son who grew up with Tourette's. Tourette's basically is people that have tics. It's a syndrome. And so a syndrome means that there's several disorders combined. So one of them is that people that have children that have tics for more than a year, then it's called Tourette's. But they also could have attention deficit disorder, or they also could have obsessive compulsive disorder. And do you know what those two disorders are? You've heard about those. So she had a son that grew up with this, and she had many problems in the school system or wherever he went, and nobody understood what it was or what it was about. And so he's in his 20s now, and she's an executive person at HBO, so she said, we're going to do a documentary. So she hired a director, and the director started looking for people for children that had Tourette's, and they found children through allopathic doctors that were receiving medicine, and they started interviewing those kids, and those kids were kind of asleep because of the medicine, and so the director got kind of frustrated and said, you know, we can't talk with these kids because they're sort of drugged with this medicine, so we have to find people that there has to be an alternative for these kids. Somebody else has to be doing something else. And through email, through a listserv, and through the National Tourette's Association, they ask other people, other families, if they were doing something different other than traditional medicine. And so we were one of those families that wrote, said, yeah, we do something else with him, and it works for us. And so they chose seven children, which they interviewed more in depth. And then there's other kids that they interviewed in Los Angeles that they're just talking about. So what's nice about this is that you're going to hear from the kids what this is, because I could clinically tell you what it is, and that's how people usually how they learn it. But these are kids that have it and what their experiences are. And I think that's what the beauty of this is. That's why I didn't want to say too much, because I want you to hear what the kids say. And you form an opinion and idea about that. And then certainly we'll be glad to answer any questions after that. Now there's instead of are we guys?
How do you turn the lights
off? Over on that side.
4 meter side. And then behind the.
No, it's okay.
You're good. Yeah,
I'm good.
Is it going?
Oh.
You have to ask Elisa.
There is no remote, that's right, so there is no way to do it then. There are two options there.
She's not here.
Oh, she's not there?
But for mine, it had 2 of them, and I just pressed the play.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
Is it? There's a light switch right behind the screen. Injected and put it back in.
Uh-huh. Is it showing? It's composite video.
So there it is now.
Now it comes, but now it says play movie.
You were in the play movie special before, but it doesn't do it.
It doesn't do it.
Do you have a remote? Matt upstairs?
She's not.
Come
here.
Okay, what the kids say is really good.
Yeah,
and you're going to really
You'd have to jump, like I want to flinch, like that.
I'm doing it so much that
I just get drained my energy, and I can't handle it, and I just get tired. It's also embarrassing.
You feel like a marked man, you know? Like people would look, already know you when they don't.
The hardest thing is probably you can't make friends as easily as someone else who doesn't have Tourette's. People stare. But you know what? You gotta just, like, let them stare.
Okay, Josh Payne! Reed Callister!
Tourette's just makes me feel different sometimes. And that's hard when it's all about fitting in. I want to be an outcast from everybody. Am I supposed to get on here? When I got to surf camp for the very first day, I didn't think I was going to make any friends that day.
I thought that he was purposely doing it, you know, trying to get attention.
The curse words, the bad words, they come out. But sometimes, like, if I'm around people, I try to hide them by, like, going, like making him in a high-pitched voice.
Sometimes he goes crazy. He says a whole bunch of words, and I tell him, because he speaks Spanish, and I speak Spanish, so I just tell him, Julian, cálmate, that means calm down. A bunch of people bully him, even little kids. a march, and like when we're out there pressing, he'll do a tick, and then we'll think, well, geez, do we really want him marching with us? Because you just wonder if you're gonna march and he'll just blurt out, you know? But then he keeps it under control really well, and he does a great job.
About 6 months ago, I started playing drums. If I'm playing in front of people, like, it feels, you know, like I'm like a rock star. Something like it makes me feel proud, like that I can do that. The other kids, a lot of them are starting to notice.
They treat you differently, not like everyone else. I think that's all he really wants, is to be like everyone else.
With some alternates, where they ask, I've always wondered, can you stop it? Can you, like, just stop? I've had second cousins that don't know much about Tourette syndrome that hold my head like this. And when people do it, I can still tick. I mean, I'm just like that now.
This is one of my ticks. It's a jumping tick, I guess. It may look like fun, but it's not. This is what it is. Holding them back just gives me this feeling of tenseness, like everything's kind of cramped together and all your muscles are like contracted. I do that. Like, I didn't mean to.
If I want to hide my ticks and don't let anyone see them, like, I take my pins off and I put it on the floor and I keep it. And then I get down on the floor and do the ticks that I have to do. Like when I'm like pushing on my stomach a lot. And then like someone says, I want you to get off the floor. So I say, well, I'm getting my hands off, so I just kick it farther.
Sometimes I'll do a test and I try to hold back. And then I think, like, that's all I think about, and I'm doing it, and, like, I don't want to disturb anyone. And it's, like, hard to concentrate. Sometimes I get problems wrong. Bam! Got me! When I try to hold back too much, you can't think of anything except holding them back, and you can't think of anything except doing them.
I would just let it all out when I got home, and it would be really hard because my mom was just being stressed all the time.
Your wife can come. If you want to cry, you can cry.
Mom!
I would take it on myself and not other people.
I cannot concentrate. Leave it up.
I would just hit myself constantly.
Mom!
Amanda.
It would just get so out of hand, I would just go ballistic. Go ballistic. And it went constantly ticking anymore. I didn't want to be embarrassed anymore. I didn't like it at all.
Capable of doing it, but just because I had trouble concentrating. And so whenever my mother would write me a note and I would give it to my teacher, he would read it out loud to the entire class. It just kind of made me feel like kind of almost unwanted, like nobody really cared about me and nobody really cared that there was something that I in my life that I just couldn't control and nobody really understood that.
I had a second grade teacher. It wasn't very understanding. She never really said anything bad to me, but she just didn't understand. She was always like,
Why are you doing that? Why can't you sit still? Stop cracking your knuckles, Intrude.
They were saying that, well, we might have to transfer her to another school. And that right then and there, I heard that. When I heard that, oh my gosh, I just started crying. I just prayed to God that they would take me back, but it didn't happen.
I hate substitutes.
Tourette syndrome and substitutes.
Before you go into school, you really need to tell people that you have Tourette's, or else it's going to be a big, big hard time for you.
Today we have a special guest speaker. I'm asking that you be attentive listeners. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Are you ready to rock and roll?
Yes.
Thank you.
Today I'm talking to my class about Tourette's. Tourette's syndrome is hereditary. About 1 in 1,000 people have it. Boys have it 3 to 4 times than girls. It's not contagious. I think it's important to tell one person, actually, because as my theory goes, tree of telling, if I tell one person, they'll tell another person, and then that person will tell 2 people, or 4, or 3, or 7, or 8. 1 year later, there might be millions of people just because that one person told so many people. There's no known cure so far, but there is medication that helps it. I want everyone to know, because I mean, only 15% probably of the world knows about it. It just really depresses me that no one really knows about it. Like, you can't hold in a sneeze, you can't hold in a cough, or you can't hold in a yawn for everyone, doesn't feel right. That's kind of like when I have a tick, and that's how hard it is to stop. So when you see me doing something annoying, it's not because I want to. It's just more like I just have to.
Okay, do you ever feel like alone or different from everybody else, or do you just feel like anyone else?
I do feel different sometimes. Not all the time. My friends help me keep myself in gear. After school today, I'm celebrating my 10th birthday. Are you going to come to my party today?
Yeah.
Okay. Party. Well, I don't like germs.
I hate spit and gross
slobber because it's all slimy.
I can't play basketball because of like all the people that have been like licking their fingers and now they're playing basketball.
It could get you infected.
No, like I'm touching CJ without even touching CJ, you know?
I lick poles, bricks, walls.
Dad, I wash my mouth off.
Dad, I just keep doing some weird one.
My eyes, if I see something that has a corner, that has a point to it, my eyes will start hurting really bad.
Sometimes when I'm watching a movie and I see something in the corner of my eye, I need that to be moved so I can't see it anymore and it doesn't distract me anymore. Right after we move that, I see another thing and it happens again until the whole room is stripped of everything.
Medicine. It's like a guessing game. You never know which one works for you until you test it.
My friends always happen to think, well, you're on medicine. Doesn't it make your tics all better?
No, it doesn't make it all better.
The medicine will help Not as much, I'd say it helps you 40%.
But there's a big risk. Every medicine you take, Halloways, has side effects.
It made me cry 24/7 with no reason at all.
It makes me very calm, not so hyper. And after, it makes me just feel really tired.
I fell asleep on the bus the other day because of that.
I'm not taking it right now because my medicine is really working right now.
But sometimes it still go out. You know, it's just still go ballistic sometimes.
When I found out that I had Tourette's, some of the tics that I have were starting to really annoy me and actually hurt. Because one, I would scratch my stomach over and over again and give me like scars, or just twitching my hand kind of weirds me out. Eating's even a problem because like I was eating potato chips one day, I picked them up and I'd twitch and they'd all crack and just crumble. Twitch was really bad, I'd just hold it down on like a table and just take deep breaths or something and just try to make them stop. At school, most of the time, I have to hold in my tics, like my jerking hands or neck. I just have to really control myself. But that's really unlike up here. It's really a great place to just be yourself. I found out that when I'm relaxed and just feeling really calm, I don't really twitch a lot. When I get really into the piano, I get into my own zone. So Tourette's is, I don't even know that I have it when I'm in my zone. When I look at my dad and my grandfather too, I just think, well, they both have Tourette's and it hasn't stopped them from writing books and do whatever they do. And I'm not gonna let it get in my way of enjoying life.
Just to be normal.
confident because I know at least one kid, one friend of mine is going to accept me no matter what I do.
Whoever hesitates will be a person still. Not like you're bad or anything, you don't know anything. You're still a human, even though you have Tourette's.
I hope that people accept me who I am, and that I don't have to fit in with people, I can just be me. I don't want other people to think that, oh, she's really cool, and she's my friend, she has Tourette's and whatever.
Now I'm starting to speak out and be myself, and, you know, trying to make sure that Tourette's doesn't ruin my life.
Stand up, dust yourself off, and say, you know what, this sucks, but I'm gonna have to deal with it, you know?
Kids with Tourette syndrome are just like any other kid, just with a few disabilities. But overall, we're like you.
Thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick up my chin and grin and say, oh, the sun come out tomorrow.
I try to hide this from people. I try to hide it from my classmates. Why would I want people to know, like, nationally about this? And I said, well, you know what? They're asking, because at the time we thought that they were going to share some of the treatments and some of what we do with them. and they were going to talk with the parents, but that's really not the idea that they had. And I said, I think this is going to help other kids to see what happens with you, and it might help them. And then he said, okay, well, I'll do that. So it's been very good for him. They had a gala dinner in New York, which they invited us to go, and they put us up in a hotel and a limousine, and we met all these kids. And they're all, you could see, they're all great kids. Julian, since he was born, just has a loving for life, you know, that is sort of uncomparable. And I think the video is good also because when you think of any type of kid with special needs, you know, it's like they're talking for them. There is a lawyer in Chicago and somebody else in Canada that sent him a letter and asked us for permission if he could read the letter first. And it's to people that have Tourette's and they're adults, and they focused on Julian and they said, you know, just, I know how old you are, but you're just like a mentor for me because your courage to do this. And it just affected people. He says, yeah, this is what I went through when I was growing up, and I'm glad that somebody puts themselves out there for everybody to know this and for people to know what's going on. Because, you know, people generally, they clump everything together, any type of disability, they, you know, like the kids are saying, for sure they're mentally retarded or they're, you know, whatever they think. And this kind of sets the spotlight on this and makes it different. But I think it also talks, like I said, about for other kids or for other people that have disabilities. And then what they're saying is that I have this, I have to live with it, but I'm human and I want to be like everybody else. But externally, for some of the kids, you know, it doesn't seem like that. So we were very proud, and we thought it was very important then to go and talk with schools, and Julian has gone with us. Now today, you know, he's gone to schools and talked to students about this. We've talked to the school counselors in the Yakima School District, which is where we live, for people to be aware, because, you know, school counselors, teachers, principals, they really need to know sort of the details about this. Today we asked him to come, and he said he's on vacation, and he chose to go play soccer. So I couldn't obligate him to come and talk about this. He's off today. So if there's any questions.
Every kid was unbelievably articulate.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering if is there a special intelligence or a piano? Gee, I mean, the autistic savants almost, not autistic though, but some special gift, is that true?
I don't think statistically that's true. I think what they did is they, after we said we would do it, they called Julian on the phone, and they spent 30, 45 minutes talking with him. And I think they got, you know, Julian is an extrovert, and he's very sociable. I think he's more like his mom. He's very sensitive, like me. Intelligent, like both of us. Otherwise, I'll pay for that later. So no, he really puts himself out there, and he does. He has a great talent for music, for example, for the drums. And teachers have told us. I mean, he'll take one class, and the different teachers, different people that don't know each other, will tell us, you know, he just learned what I teach in 5 classes to somebody else. I mean, I don't know how he did that, but he just picks it up. So he's got a talent. But I think when they interviewed them, they interviewed a lot of kids, and then I think they picked the ones that were going to be able to articulate, you know, this type of thing. Because you see, there's just a certain number of kids. And then Oprah Winfrey did part of her show when this was going to come out to promote it. And Oprah Winfrey had like 17 production groups for her show. And so one production group invited Julian to go, they invited 7 children to go, and then it switched to another production group, and then they disinvited him and decided they're going to take 3 kids, and 3 kids went. But people thought he was on the Oprah show because she showed part of the video, and part of the video of where Julian is. Mm-hmm. So they thought he had gone. Mm-hmm. So now we're waiting on August the 19th, it's nominated for 2 Emmys. And it's in competition with Walt Disney on drugs, some type of documentary that they came up with. And we'll see, you know, if it wins or not. But it's gained, you know, popularity. Mm. And people, you know, it comes every now and again, it comes again on HBO. And you can see it. So it's a nice thing.
You want to say something about the approach that you took that you said was not conventional or a different kind of...
Yeah, we've always been more naturopathic than allopathic. And as you know, some of the kids, and we've heard some of the kids that they don't know anything else, and they give them meds, and then they have side effects, and then you don't know if the side effects are part of the disorder or not or what. But we've always been more health-wise, and so what's helped him is Chinese herbs and homeopathic remedy. There's actually a homeopathic remedy that he could take it, and the ticks go away, because we know him since, you know, he was born. And when he was born, he didn't come up with it. He started
when he was 4 and a half.
So it's like he returns to that. It's like we think of it as like it's his normal self again, and it lasts for about a month, and then it starts coming back again. And you have to give another dosage or another potency of it, and then it goes. So we've tried different things like that, and some of the kids as they grow older, some of them do grow out of it. And some of them don't.
Are there things like relaxation techniques? Are there things like meditation?
He's learned meditation. He's read different books, and he's very intuitive. Like I said, he's sensitive. He's very intuitive. He seems like he could predict it sometimes. So that gives him some self-esteem, and he is convinced at times that he can control some of this, you know, change his brain with his brain, with his thoughts, and with the relaxation, and with things that he does. So he does have some control over it that way. So that, I mean, that's interesting.
Well, it was very moving. I found myself wanting to cry at it 3 times. So
yeah.
It's a great story because it comes from the children. And usually what they're going through, it is, I'm amazed of the work that they go through the whole day because they really hold it. I mean, they try to hold the movement so badly so that they can be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Like that girl that throwing the pencil, all of them have worked out some ways of disguise their movements. I know Julian has been kind of the clown sometimes in the school because he tries to yell or say some things just to cover up whatever his movements are. So that's the way that he has been doing it. But now it's decreasing, thank God, because he has gone through very rough times, but it is amazing how they hold in it all the time, most concentrated on whatever the school is going. I mean, they need to concentrate on the school work and at the same time hold every single movement. So when they get home, it's just a wreck. I mean, they really are throwing all the movements and releasing. It's just heartbreaking for parents. More than anything, because they really do. I mean, it's just, they go through very, very rough times. But, I mean, they hold it all day, so when they home, they are themselves. They are free to be themselves, so it's hard. And they change, I mean, and they always are different. You never know who's going to be opening the door when you pick him up from school, because he's going to be doing a different movement from 1 week to the other. Like Julian started mainly from the limbs, I mean the legs. He couldn't walk and he was just going like this for many, he was 7 years old or 8 years old, and I needed to take him in the stroller because he didn't want to be seen doing all those movements. And then little by little went all the way up to the face and most gestures on the face, and then went to the hands and arms and jerking like that. But it really it changes. You never know really what's going to be happening. And it's a component of many other things around. It's like they have echolalia, which is repetition of sounds, and then copropelia, that is the bad words that usually people know as Tourette's, and then people had this vision of the cursing syndrome, and that's not really what they go. All of them do that. But like that guy that was saying metal or coffee, They just say words and they just spit out whatever they say. But Julian, what he had is imitation of animal sounds. So he will imitate the animal sounds and imitate movements of people.
Yeah, imagine that, because he would do it with people, and so the teacher would do something and he'd imitate it. And he's good at it. You know, imagine the reaction of the teachers when they see him doing it, it's like,
So the other
kid that's saying, you know, you have to let people know, you have to, otherwise you get in big trouble, and that's true too.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't know. They don't really know. Yeah. You know, they've heard it and they don't know exactly what it is. And so, you know, we got him on a 504, so heat would produce more ticks for him, for example, and different people, different things trigger it. And so then they try to get a fan in his room and let him go out and walk around for a little bit to come back in again and things like that. But again, you know, he wouldn't want to go out and walk because then people would notice, why is he going out and walking? Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be different. So you sort of have to balance all of that.
Do you show this movie at his school?
We have been showing around different places.
Yeah.
Awesome. And when it came on November 12th is when it came nationally, and it has been going on TV. Everybody who has HBO can see it because they're still showing it here and there. But he received, like we said, many, like three or four letters from men mainly, that are grown-ups, and just saying how much respect they have for him. And we have been communicating with them from now on. I mean, we have emails and talk back and forth, and they're saying, this is the way I'm feeling right now, I'm asking Julian, and then among themselves trying to find some way to help out. So it has been great. He really, after doing that and after receiving the feedback, he has felt very good about doing it. I mean, he really felt that it was worthwhile doing it. So we go to schools and we go to groups and talk about that. Mm-hmm. And he is the one that mainly talks, but today he didn't want. He didn't want to make it so obvious in the village.
Yeah.
He said,
Derek.
No, I understood from some of it was that it's hereditary. Is it?
Mm-hmm. It's hereditary.
Do you have it in your family?
Yeah, I had an uncle, my mom's cousin, and I have a touch of it too.
Sometimes. So you weren't totally surprised.
We're sort of in the anxiety spectrum, you know, my family. Getting nervous or getting obsessive compulsive, perfectionistic, things like that. And so I know, and my dad did some, but it, you know, like he would clear his throat a lot. And when I look, I never thought anything about it, but when I look at this, I think, oh, that really was like a tick. And you know, you just have to see, is it when they're anxious or not, or that type of thing. So I know through my family it does.
It's very difficult to diagnose because of that same reason. I mean, people when the children when they start doing that and they're clearing their throats, they think there is asthma or is allergies, and they start giving all this medication for allergies, and they continue doing it. So they are medicated with tons of things because they're trying to see what's the deal. I never know that's what it is. And another part is difficult to, you never know for the school teachers or for parents, is you never know when it's really the Tourette's that is, the behavior is Tourette's, or it really is the teenager behavior that is triggering, and it's just hard to distinguish sometimes what is what in there.
I was wondering if there are particular challenges during adolescence.
Because of the same of being socially accepted.
Right, but I was wondering if hormonally there are sometimes difficulties or.
Yeah.
I think like I said, some it becomes milder when they change hormonally,
mm-hmm.
and other kids stay the same.
What?
And like Aurora said, it's sometimes it's difficult to know. One of the things, for example, we noticed that he was on the obsessive compulsive side when he was younger. He kept his room perfectly in order. And I was very glad, because I like it like that too. Until we noticed that his friends would come by And then he'd sit apart and he would like cry. I said, what's going on? And he would tell us how his friends were messing up his order, and the amount of time that it was going to take him to put it back in order after they left. So then he learned before they left, they would grab something, and when they were done, he would go back and like put it in order. And that was sort of the obsessive compulsive thing. But now, we don't know, whenever he gets rigid as an adolescent that he wants to do something and that's it, it's difficult to say, is he just trying to be independent, or does he have a rigidity about this disorder that he has? So it's kind of...
But going back to your question, yes, when the hormones start triggering, he had horrible time. I never wished this to my mother, but he, or to a parent, myself, I'm talking about myself, but he couldn't stop sounding or moving for hours and hours and hours, and he would be exhausted and asking, Mom, just help me stop this, because I cannot handle this anymore. But he went on and on for 2 months. It was horrible. But after those 2 months, something switched and something changed. And it decreased a little bit. It is less than before, so they go through rough time, like that corner, he really went through a very rough time, yeah.
It does seem to come and go. He has worse times sometimes than others, and we're not sure exactly why. But he did have that period, a couple of months, that was really bad.
And the obsessive compulsive disorder is what he says, Mom, the truth is not that much, the one that is giving me a hard time is the obsessive compulsive. Disorder that really, because I have all these thoughts all the time. But like Jorge said, he really tries to control things, to change the chemistry in his brain by himself. And he said, Mom, I think I'm doing it because I'm doing this with my thoughts. But he really tries hard to do it. Jim, do you want?
Well, Aurora, when we were talking about this story, we didn't really talk about it as your story, but it's also your story. And so, is there anything that, as parents, that you want to talk about or could say to us about how where it's taken you? We see certain things that are wonderful for all of us. And your courage of telling the story, but is there anything else as far as this story being your story that you could say?
Well, for me, from my story, it has been emotionally draining, yeah. And physically too.
Uh-huh.
It's just hard to see your child just going from school and being so wrecked. It's hard, but I have always been there for him, and we have always been there for him, and he has always been able to express where he has been in every single episode or time, and we kind of guide wherever he needs to go. But it's hard. It is very tired, and they keep up with the. You need to have the dose of the homeopathic and the Chinese herbs. And Mom, I don't like this Chinese herbs, and I don't want to take them, but he needs to take them. It's just doing it until finally he got it into a habit of doing it. But at the beginning, it's just you need to be there all the time. And it's hard because you never know, as I told you, who's going to come and open the door on that car. When he comes from school, he will be doing things, and usually they take it to the mothers, because of course the mothers accept them, they are right there all the time. But he will be aggressive sometimes towards me. Not anymore. He's under a very wonderful dose of homeopathic medicine, homeopathic remedy, And that has taken away all that aggressiveness, or all that is gone. So
how did you find all that? How did you know how to do it?
We have been very fortunate. We were living in Portland, and we have always been naturalists. And then since he was born, we have this German doctor who practices Chinese herbs and has known Julian since he was a baby. So he treated him from asthma and all those allergies, and then with the Tourette's. And then he knew someone that is a homeopath, and he works with a group of homeopaths around the world, and they communicate among each other. They have a consortium, and they talk about the case and among all the people from all the big guys, homeopathic people, they will come up with the right dose. But it took us a long time to find the right remedy, because it is hard. And sleep, that's other thing. Sleep patterns are horrible. They cannot go to sleep very easily. So they needed to have me, Julian needs to have me, needed to have me, not anymore, close to him, and a grounding person all the time there. So it was hard, because he would wake up like every 3 hours asking for me. So I was physically exhausted. I mean, it was horrible. Now it's just great that is not happening, but going through that was hard.